2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and DeGenevieve, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's a very important story in the Deseret News that really caught my attention. It says that, the headline says, college enrollments dropped by 700,000 students, and it's the worst decline in a decade. Jason Perry of the Hinckley Institute of Politics at the University of Utah joining me as our special guest host in for Dave Noriega. Jason, when I first saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening here in Utah? This is obviously a national trend, and it's scary when you look at that number.
Well, when I read this article, I was really concerned because you look at what's happening across the country, and there's this relationship. When the economy is doing pretty well, that's when you start seeing people not going to school. They're all, you know, getting their jobs, you know, when the economy's bad. But what we need is workers across the country, particularly as we're starting to emerge from COVID. And so I was very concerned. And so that's what I was so happy to talk to you about this as well, because this is not the case necessarily in the state of Utah. We're seeing this trend across the country, particularly hit our community colleges
around
the country.
And I can see that community college. My feeling is this, having attended a community college in Arizona for a semester, I was surrounded at the time, and I was, you know, early 20s, by a lot of people who were either returning to college in their 30s and 40s. And as a pandemic hits, if you are 30-something, 40-something, 50-something, returning to college, maybe taking a few community college courses, and you lose your job, for example, you may not be able to afford to pay for that course, and you got to find another job because you got family. So I could see that being the case at community colleges. And there's a lot of other reasons why, according to this article in the Deseret News. And they cited a report by NPR. They said some students just chose not to return because they didn't like the online format.
Well, that is a true feature of this. You look across the country and so many states were not in person at all. And you have a lot of students for us, and this is not the right format for me. They didn't stay for that semester, and they haven't come back in a lot of those places. That's why I'm excited. We're going to have a guest on later in a few moments that's going to talk about plans to get back, because that is absolutely true. One is a lot of people entering the workforce, people have been struggling financially. The second part is if you're not in class in person, it's been a little bit of an issue for those students. They were not quite as interested.
Yeah, it's also hard for specific, like it would be really hard for me to take a science class online, a math class online. I'd probably do better with maybe an English class online, although there's no guarantee with that either. But I would imagine that those would be the classes you would drop, like a lab.
Yeah, absolutely.
You couldn't do the lab because, you know, so it would just create a lot of issues with the students. But let's talk about what's going on at the University of Utah. We've got Dan Reed. He's the Senior Vice President of Academic Affairs at the University of Utah. Good morning, Mr. Reed.
Good morning.
And a National Science Advisor.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just admitted that I'm not big on science.
I'm just adding that for you.
So thankful to Jason here, who's been sitting with me for the last 2 hours, because the minute I read this headline to him, he said, oh, let's get Dan Reed, who's the Senior Vice President of Academic Affairs at the University of Utah, on the show. So thank you.
My pleasure. Happy to be here. Happy to talk about some of the things that we've been doing and some of the lessons learned.
Is the U experiencing the same drop-off that we're seeing around the country?
Well, we had record enrollment last year, even in the midst of the pandemic last fall. I can tell you, as they say, it's never over till it's over, but we had a 20% increase in applications this year. We had a record number of deposits, that's new students declaring intent to attend. And we've got a large waiting list for our on-campus housing. So we're pretty encouraged. It's never, you never know until the semester begins, and we never report official numbers until after registration is complete. But there seems to be real pent-up demand to return to campus.
Dan, why do you think that's the case? I know I've been in some of these meetings where you're talking about some of the efforts, but this is the university, other universities in the state as well. But why would you say that's occurring?
Well, I think we, as you were discussing before, we did continue to offer some online components, in-person components during the pandemic. You mentioned laboratory experiences. You're absolutely right. There's some things that you really have to do in order to learn, and that's true in the arts and architecture, the sciences and engineering. So those continued even during the pandemic to give students a sense of what it was like to be on campus. But we've invested a lot of time and energy in the transition and planning for the fall. And so we will have in-person classes. We have also seen, and I think this is a national trend, a rising demand for students who also want access to multiple modalities. So we will be offering online support, but the overwhelming majority of our classes will be back in person just as they were before. And to your point about workforce, I would say one of the other things that we've expanded during COVID and will continue to expand is a focus on delivering certificates and other just-in-time education materials for those people who really need to upskill to be competitive in a knowledge economy. So it's degrees are crucial, and that is our primary goal always, to educate Utahns, but also to help Utahns in their lifelong quest to continue to upskill and be competitive.
Dan Reed is a Senior Vice President of Academic Affairs at the University of Utah. We're talking to him because there's this national story of a 700,000 college student drop in enrollment. And just in the last, I believe it's the last year that that number has plummeted. But at the University of Utah, they're seeing enrollment, I'll just say spike. It sounds like there's a lot more people than I would have thought interested in getting to school or back to school. Dan, paint a picture for us, if you will. What do the classrooms look like? Because, you know, I'll be honest, I've got a 21-year-old who's excited about getting back into the classroom at the University of Utah, but she's got me as a mom, and I'm like, what is it going to look like? Are you going to be socially distanced or what? So what's the protocols going to look like?
So we will continue to offer COVID testing. We absolutely encourage everyone who's not been vaccinated to get vaccinated, but we also respect individual choice. We will be mask friendly in both senses. If you want to wear a mask, we will welcome that. If you choose not to, we will welcome and support that as well. We're moving back to normal classroom densities, back to sort of the normal experience. And I think one of the things that students really crave is that sense of personal interaction. All of us have had a sense of cabin fever working from home or being isolated. That personal interaction with faculty and with other students, engaging in social activities, but the out-of-classroom educational experiences and groups is a big part of what is a differentiating feature of an in-person education. And for all of the work to replicate that online, it's just not quite the same. So it's going to be fun. You know, we'll have football back on campus with a full stadium. We'll have all of the social activities, all of the educational activities. So we're moving back to normal. We are trying to draw some lessons, as is I think everyone, from COVID. What actually is better to do in some other ways? And we've gotten feedback from our faculty and staff about that, about some of our support activities that online is actually a better way to do some things. So, for example, there's pretty clear evidence that there's more uptake of student advising for class placement via electronic appointments. So we're going to continue to do that, but we will continue to offer the in-person appointments for the students who want those as well.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Dan, for all you're doing. Debbie, it's just such an important conversation because there ever is a time for us to be working on getting back to school and higher education through the entire system. This is it. University of Utah is doing a great job trying to get people back in the seats because it's time for us to get back in school.
That was Dan Reed, Senior Vice President of Academic Affairs at University of Utah. Also, Jason Perry's colleague.
Yes.
At the University of Utah. Jason Perry in today for Dave Noriega. Jason runs the Hinckley Institute of Politics at the U of U. Straight ahead, we're going to have another one of your colleagues on the line. This is like the U of U show.
Well, I'm not sure how this happened, but yes.
It's truly just through a chain of events. Some would say unfortunate or fortunate events, but the 12-year reign of Israel, of Benjamin Netanyahu, is over in Israel. He's the prime minister there, or was the prime minister there. They now have a new prime minister in place. We're going to talk to a University of Utah law professor who is literally in Israel right now. He's calling the show in 4 minutes with his take.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.